loves New Year's. Robbie does. I personally, thank you, Megan. I personally love New Year's. I mean, I really do. I have a sincere love for flipping the calendar from December of one year to January of the next. And I don't know. Anybody else feel that way? Am I alone? Apparently I'm alone. Or y'all are asleep or something. I started thinking why I like New Year's so much. I think for me, it is a love for new beginnings. Y'all like new beginnings? I love the opportunity to turn the page and to see fresh, blank page ahead. Past behind, future ahead. I love turning the page to a new beginning. And I think New Year's, I mean, God kind of helped the people of Israel develop their calendar years, right? So this idea of seasons and this idea of change and this idea of new beginnings, this is not something that we have made. This is something that God has set in motion for us. And some of you have read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a wonderful book, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book, talking just through life and what life is all about. But Ecclesiastes 3, we're not going to be there today, but I'm just bringing this up so I can try to help validate why I love New Year's so much and why I think you should too. Ecclesiastes 3, God says, for everything, there is a season. There is a season for everything under heaven, right? And he goes through and talks about there's a time to mourn and a time to laugh and a time to weep. And he goes through and talks about all these seasons of life. I think seasons are a wonderful gift of God. They're a wonderful gift. New Year is a gift to you. It's a gift to you. God is turning the page in your life, beginning a new chapter. And I think New Year should be a time where we sit back and we take time. Anybody like to do meditation around New Year's? Not like yoga, but like just self-reflection, meditation, thinking, dreaming, planning. I love doing that around New Year's. To think back at the year past and to take time and to say, God, thank you. Make a list. Thank you for all the things that you did in my life in 2012. This and this and this and this and this and this. God, I could write a list longer than any list that probably I ever have time to write of how faithful you have been this past year to me. Thank you that while I was faithless, you were faithful. Amen? We could sit and take time to think about God's faithfulness in the year past, but also you can sit and take time to think about God's faithfulness in the year ahead. Though you haven't stepped but 6 days in this new year, I know one thing, and that is God will be faithful to you in 2013. Amen? We should look forward to 2014. We should be excited about it. We should sit down and take time to say, God, give me your vision for my life for this next year. Give me your dreams for my life for this next year. Give me your heart, your goals. Sit down, repent of the past, anything that you need to leave behind. Make new goals and commitments moving forward. There is a season for everything under heaven, and this is a new season for you. Are you excited about 2013? Okay, I'm trying to elicit more response as we go, so I'll keep talking about 2013 if you want me to. So anyway, New Year's is great. And some of us make resolutions in the New Year. Who makes resolutions? Who's that guy or girl? Okay. All right. Like five of you. That is the rest of you. You're so apathetic. What's going on? No goals? No dreams? Come on. I like making resolutions. I like making goals and commitments. And I think it's a healthy thing to do if you do it in humility and out of a love for the Lord. I think it's a very healthy thing to do. In fact, I encourage you to do it. Some of us make resolutions every year about our health, all right? Exercise more. Who's ever made that resolution? Eat less. Eat more balance. You don't have to raise your hand on those. A lot of us will start thinking about, I'm telling you, if you go to the YMCA or the UT gym, wherever else you folks exercise, it is packed during the month of January and then about half the month of February. And then it starts trickling off. Why do you think it's packed? Because everybody's like, I'm going to be healthy this year, you know? And that's what we start doing. I looked up online the new diet trends for 2013, right? Are you excited about this? Pull up the next screen. Let me show you. Now, you're not going to understand any of this. Some of these are old diets, but some of these are new ones. This is the AIR diet. Has anybody ever heard of this? This genius, and he's really not a genius, he says, look, if you want to lose weight, then just set your plate with nothing on it. and sit down for dinner and pretend like you're eating. And by the going through the motions of eating, somehow psychologically you satisfy yourself, but you're not eating anything. It's called the air diet. Yay. This is what our world gives us. Oh, what about the ear staple? Anybody heard of that one? Some of you medical folks might have heard of it. You staple your ear, and it's supposedly like right there in that place, there's some kind of nerve that makes your appetite sensory overload or whatever, and you think you're eating, or you think you're full, but you're really not. So anyway, if you guys come in here next week with an ear staple, I'm sending you back. I don't want to see that in any of you. The cotton ball diet. Apparently in the 1920s, they thought that if you ate a lot of cotton balls before you ate, you would actually feel fuller by eating less. Isn't that great? The baby food diet. What a wonderful idea. Let's stuff our faces with our children's food. And then we'll be more healthy. I have no idea. This one is a purification diet. You, for 1 month, you only eat maple syrup, lemon juice, and cayenne pepper. Doesn't that sound awesome? And by the way, it has a few side effects that you should know about. Fatigue, nausea, dizziness, dehydration, and long-term loss of muscle mass. But you'll feel better. And then Elvis's favorite diet, since we're here in Memphis, is the Sleeping Beauty diet. And this is the idea that if you sleep 24 hours a day for 7 days in a row, then you actually lose weight because your body keeps, what is it called, metabolizing or whatever. It's not a good diet, but Elvis used to put himself into like sleep comas thinking that's how you could lose weight. Anyway, this is what our world offers you for the new year. Aren't you excited about this? And some folks will just chase this stuff all day long, and next year the new ones will come out and they'll go chasing those. And let me tell you, it's just vanity. It's just like the wind. It's just chasing away. Well, look, you're going to be so excited. Your pastor and friend, Barrett, has prepared a new diet for you for 2013. Who's excited? Okay, come on. Who's excited? Okay. I have a new diet for you for 2013. I want everybody to get out your bulletins or your iPad or iPhone, whatever you use to take notes on. This is going to be the most helpful and practical message for the new year and helpful and practical diet. Listen, if you're going to go on a diet this year, this is the one I want you to go on. In fact, I want every person here to go on this diet this year, all right? Everybody got something to write with? Okay. At the top of your paper, you can just write the name of the diet. It's called the Soul Food Diet, okay? I'm actually going to recommend this morning that you eat soul food every single day of this year. Now, some of you know where this is going. I ain't necessarily talking about meatloaf and mashed potatoes, although I recommend that too. But I'm talking about a soul food diet, okay? Everybody write it up top, 2013 soul food diet. This is good for your daily health, not just physical, but spiritual, okay? So I encourage you this year. Here's the premise of the diet, and then I'm going to give you the formula for it. The premise of the diet is I encourage you this year to make sure that your soul, S-O-U-L, everybody point to their heart, although that's not really where your soul is. It's somewhere, you know, who you really are. That your soul, your inner man, your spirit that God has given you to relate to him, I encourage you this year to make sure that your soul is healthy and fed every single day. That you, your inner man, is strengthened and supplied by the Spirit of God every single day. Now listen here. Your size can be slimmer in 2013. And for some of you, that's fine, whatever. Do what you're going to do. Your arms can be stronger, like mine. They can look this good by the end of this year. And I encourage you not to take that advice. Your arms can look fitter. Your clothes can be beautiful. Your shoes can be the most stylish things ever. But listen, if your soul is dead, what do you have? If you have all that the world says that you should have, if you get your promotion this year and you work hard and you get a raise, if you work hard in school and you get all A's this semester, if you get all the latest gadgets and toys and all the right clothes and all the stuff the world says you need, if you do all that but neglect your inner man, what have you? 1 Samuel, God says, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at what? Looks at the heart." Jesus says in Matthew 16, "What good does it do you if you gain the whole world and yet neglect your soul?" This year, 2013, I want you to prioritize a diet, a soul food diet. I want you to prioritize this year. This year will be the year for you, that every day you see to it that your inner man is strengthened and supplied by the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, I'm going to outline the diet to you. You're going to write it down because you're going to stick to it, right? Everybody's going to stick to it. So here we go. Three parts to this diet. Everybody get ready. We're going to walk through them all. Don't you worry. It's going to be a good sermon. First point. Here we go. I'm going to give you the whole formula. Here we go. Three parts to this diet. First part is desire. Second part is discipline. And third part is dependence. We're going to walk through these in a second. If you want to see that your soul is fed every single day, there's three things that you need to prioritize in your life. One is desire. Two is discipline. And three is dependence. All right? I want you to turn to your neighbor real quick, and I want you to tell your neighbor how to follow the soul food diet for 2013, okay? You can turn to your neighbor now. That's good. Okay. How's your neighbor do? You think they're going to do good this year with their diet? I hope so. All right. Let's start with desire. What I'm going to do is walk through these step by step by step, and I want you to take notes on them. I want you to look at the scripture that's associated with each of them, because this is the formula this year for you to make sure that your inner man is fed and supplied by the Spirit of God. First step is desire. The beginning of this diet begins with affection. The foundation for this diet is one of affection. It's desire. It's hunger. It's deep, deep longing for what? For God. Oh, not the things of God, but God. It's a desire, a hunger, a longing for more of God, a more intimate relationship with God. Now, some of you guys, I know you well enough to know, because I know myself, you already desire a million things in 2013. You've already thought, I want this, I want this, I want this. And let me tell you, your desires dictate your actions. You will chase the things that you desire. So the foundation of this diet, this soul food diet, is for you to set in your heart, I am determined this year. I want more than anything this year to know more of God. I want to be more intimate with Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God, not just once a week, but every single day. I want to walk in the joy of the Spirit. I want to see the fruits of the Spirit evidenced in my life. It begins with a deep-rooted affection, desire, hunger for God. It's like Psalm 63, verse 1 through 5. Go look at it later. Write it down. Go look at it later. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 5. Oh, God, my God, earnestly, listen to the words of affection, earnestly I seek you. I long for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Oh, God, I long for you. That's the kind of desire that I'm talking about. 1 Peter chapter 2, I was reading this morning. Long for pure spiritual milk. It's a word of affection. Hear it. Long. Earnestly I seek you. Listen, I get so tired of Christians. But, oh, yeah, I'll go to church. Go to church. Oh, yeah, I'll read my Bible. Oh, yeah, yeah, I love God. No, that's not the way the Bible talks. The Bible talks with affection. People who know God love God. In their inner man, they love Him. They long for Him. They hunger for Him. They want more of Him. I don't care if you've been walking with the Lord for one day or walking with the Lord for 50 years. You can. God wants to strengthen your desires and affections for God. Amen? He wants you to have deeper desire for Him than ever before. Listen, our soul's true home is in God. We were made in His image to live in relationship with Him. I say this all the time. Our soul was meant. You have the capacity in you to live in relationship with God. And your life is not meant to find happiness, true happiness. Your life is not meant to find true joy, true peace, true love until you are living in relationship with God. He is your home. You need to long to live at home. You need to long to live under the rooftop of God's presence. Amen? You need to long for that. That's where you belong. You need to be sick with yourself when you desire other things more than God. Your affections need to be rooted in God. And let me tell you, that's something that a Spirit has to do for you. You can't make yourself love God. You can ask for God to give you a heart that loves God. But your affection, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. You need to cry out to God, God, make me a man who loves you more. Make me earnestly desire you. Make me long for you. Does that make sense? You have to ask God for this. The foundation for this diet begins with desire, and desire is a gift of God. Amen? Okay. Now, what are we to desire, right? Well, how do we know God more? Well, John chapter 4, Jesus says to a woman at the well. Remember, he's talking to this lady. She's hanging out at the well, trying to kind of do her thing. He comes up, starts engaging her, trying to point her to living water, which is him. And she starts asking questions about worship, and she's like, how are we supposed to worship, here or there? And he says, no, worship is not about location. It's not about where you are and what condition you're in. No, worship, he said, true worshipers will worship in what? Spirit and in truth. So if you want to worship God, if you want to know more of God, spend more time with God, then you're going to pursue his spirit and pursue his what? Truth. Pursue his spirit and pursue his truth. And that's what we're going to kind of look at today. God's word, everybody tracking with me, you need to write this part down. Write this line down. God's word is true nutrition for your soul. God's word is true nutrition for your soul. Now, some of you guys, I've seen the way you eat, and you like eating. Some of you girls don't like eating enough. But listen, our bodies were made to eat, right? Why do you think God created our bodies to eat? I mean, he could have created us to be self-sustaining, right, where we didn't need food. I think, this is just a theory because it doesn't say it clearer than the Word of God, but I think because we're made in the image of God, he designed our bodies to intake and to live off constant nutrition to teach us what our souls are supposed to be doing in relationship with him. Just like you can't go for a long period of not eating without feeling malnutritious, right? Your soul can't go for a long time apart from God before it starts to shrivel up and die. You were made to receive spiritual food, and that food is the Word of God. Amen? Now, you don't have to agree with me or not. I'm just telling you the way it is. Your spirit, God's Word is true nutrition for your souls. Now, can you imagine only going to eat on Sunday afternoons? All-you-can-eat buffet. Let's say I promise you, hey, I'll take you with me to eat an all-you-can-eat buffet every Sunday afternoon. But you cannot eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Every Sunday, I'm going to feed you all-you-can-eat buffet, but you can't eat any other day of the week. Would anybody take me up on that? Huh? Nobody. Why? Because that sounds stupid, right? That'd be stupid because I like eating, and by Tuesday or Wednesday, your body's going to be shut down. You're not going to be able to have the purpose that you're supposed to have. You're going to be frustrated and angry at me that I set you up for this, right? But how many times do you and I do the same thing spiritually? We go to church on Sunday. We get fed by the Word of God, fed by the Spirit of God in worship. But then we don't go back to God any other day of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We totally are not taking in nutrition that God desires for us, for our souls. We're not living by the food that he wants to give us. There's no wonder that we see a lack of joy in our life, a lack of the fruit of the Spirit in our life, a lack of a frustration in our life, more fleshly stuff in our life. Listen, your spirit is shutting down. You are meant to live in nutrition of the Word of God. Amen? Okay, let me just explain this to you. John chapter 6, you look this up later. John chapter 6, Jesus says that just as God gave the Israelites manna, food from heaven to feed them, now God gives us Jesus. He is our true food and our true drink. He says, feed off my flesh and my blood. We are to find our feeding on him. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is tempted in the desert, guess what he says? He says, man shall not live on what? Bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How many of us, though, try to live on bread alone? We just go through just living our life the way we think we should live, and we're not living off the very thing that God supplies for us so our inner man can be strengthened. Don't you want the Word of God? Okay, don't you want the Word of God? Yes. What I'm trying to do is establish in you the foundation of this diet, which is desire. Listen, God wants to feed you. Isn't that good news? He has spread an all-you-can-eat buffet for you spiritually every single day. Is that good news? Yes. Every morning you wake up, there's an all-you-can-eat buffet supplied by the Spirit of God in His Word. And He's saying, come and eat. Your soul feels tired today. You feel hungry today. You feel longing today. You feel like things aren't right today. Come and eat. Isaiah chapter 55, come and drink wine with no price. Come and drink milk. You don't have to buy a thing. Come, eat. That's what God wants to do for you through His Word. All right? Desire the Word of God. Listen, Psalm chapter 1 says, turn your Bible, Psalm chapter 1. I need to have you open your Bible at some point today. This is all biblical. This is more of a topical message. It's different than what we usually do just in one passage. And I really do want you to go look at these things later. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight, again, a word of affection, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Oh, blessed is the man. What's the word blessed mean? It means happy. Anybody want to be happy? Okay, come on, folks. I want to be happy. I want you to be happy. We need to desire greater things. I want you to be happy. Happy is the man. Oh, the happiness of the man who does not go the way of the world, who does not try to find his affection in everything that cannot satisfy, but instead he plants himself into the Word of God. He delights in the law of the Lord. He goes to the all-you-can-eat buffet of the spiritual food of God. Oh, happy is that man. He is like a tree, a big, fat oak tree, sitting down by the Mississippi River, planted. God plants him there, takes the roots of the tree and buries them down into the deep water of the river, which is the Spirit of God. When you draw from the Spirit of God, the tree of your life, of your soul, will be firm and planted. And your leaves will bloom and blossom. The fruit of your life will be one of godliness and righteousness. You will be a happy, well-supplied man in season and out of season. You will be okay because God is the strength of your heart. Amen? Have I created a desire in you yet? I'm trying to show you that the Word of God is rich and ready to supply you in your time of need. Homework assignment for you this week. Ready for it? Psalm chapter 119. I'm being serious. I'm giving homework. Pastors don't do this much, but I'm doing it to you today. Psalm chapter 119. I want you to read it, and I want you to do this. Write down all the different ways that the Word of God has promised to supply your soul every day. I want you to write down, now there's 170 verses in this psalm, okay? So this is going to be a daily exercise, but it's good because you desire it. You desire to spend time in the Word now. It's good. Spend time in the Word. You're going to write down verse by verse all the different benefits of the Word of God, and I'm telling you, you're going to be blown away. Go forward like two or three slides. Now this is the chart. Don't look at this. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Okay. I had already done the homework. So you come check your answers with mine next week, okay? Step two. This first step is desire. I want you to earnestly desire to be with God this year. Okay? That's step one. If I asked you the question today, do you earnestly desire to know more of God this year? Could you say yes? I pray so. If I say, do you earnestly desire for God to meet you every day, the all-you-can-eat buffet of His Spirit through His Word, could you say yes? I hope so. The Word of God is awesome, and I hope you want it. God has made Himself available to us. And I think a lot of us would say yes. But the hard part is, how do I do this, Barrett? How do I do it? I want more of God, and I have no clue how to do it. I don't know how to go to the Word of God. I open up my Bible, and this is kind of what I do every day. Oh, Lord, please let me land on the right passage. Okay. Does that say something for me? Anybody ever done that before? I used to do that. It's okay. Some folks just don't know how to approach the Word of God, and I want to equip you to go and feast on the Word of God by the Spirit of God. The second step in our diet, 2013 diet of daily soul food, is daily discipline of time in God's Word. Now, some of you might spend time in God's Word every day, but I'm encouraging you this year to be even more disciplined in your study and time in God's Word than you ever have before. All right? So everybody write this down. Step two, first you're going to hunger for God. Step two is daily discipline of time in God's Word. How do you do this practically? With most resolutions, you have to have both desire and commitment. Listen, I know a lot of passionate people that get nothing done. Some of you folks know these kind of people. They always talk about dreams. They talk about vision, but nothing ever comes. Never comes. It's always a desire, but never a reality. There's always a purpose, but never a plan. There's always talk, but there's never walk. And let me tell you, you will get nowhere spiritually if all you do is sit around hungering for God, but you never take the steps to pursue Him, if you never commit to actually walk in His direction. I want you to be a disciplined person as it comes to your daily soul food. And discipline for this means spending time every day in God's Word. Every year, with the exception of half of my life, I have made a resolution to work out. And you guys can see how far that's taken me. Right? I'm the guy in the gym in January and half the month of February. Happens like that every year. I have strong desire. I want it. I say I want it. But I have no follow through. There's no follow through. I'm not disciplined. I don't make time for it. I have no accountability to it. I don't have any kind of plan when I go to the gym. I just kind of do things that make me feel good. And so you get what you get. Look at me. I look like Gumby. You get what you get, right? That's because all I have is desire and I have no discipline when it comes to the gym. I'm just being honest with you. The same thing can happen to us in time in the Word. Some of you guys, every year you think, oh, this is the year I'm going to read the Bible every day. This is the year I'm going to spend time with God every day. Come February, you get to the genealogies and Genesis, and it's just like, oh, crap, I'm done. And you find yourself, you don't wake up as early as you used to. Everybody's laughing because you know you do it. You don't wake up as early as you wanted to, and suddenly you start watching TV instead of spending time with God, and you make excuses, and no. And what it is, essentially, is you're apathetic. You're not disciplined. There's no plan. Your purpose hasn't met a plan. Your desire hasn't met an action. And so you're going to get what you get, and you're frustrated again. Year in and year out, I want that cycle to end. By the Spirit of God this year, I want that cycle to end. You don't have to fall prey to sin and apathy anymore. Jesus died for sin. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. You are a new creature in Christ. He can give you the power to do this. Do you agree? Okay, come on. Come on. Do you agree? Yes, okay. I don't want you to just fall on this cycle. You are meant to abide in the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 6, Jesus says, abide in me like a vine and a branch. You are to abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We aren't meant to go through life, okay, things are really bad right now, so I'm going to go get close to God. Okay, things are getting better, so when does it have a hug? Okay, I think I can do this on my own again, right? And then suddenly you lash out at your wife, or something exhibits in you that the fleshliness, or you get frustrated or depressed. Oh, okay, I must need to go back to the Word of God again, right? And we find ourselves just back and forth, back and forth. There's no discipline. Anybody relate to that? Yes. Jesus says, don't do that. No. Stop that mess. That's childish. Abide in me. The word abide means dwell. It means make a home. It means camp out. It's like when I go to my house, I abide in my house. You'll find me at my house in the morning. You'll find me at my house at night. Sometimes you find me at my house in the midday for lunch. Abide in that house. Does that make sense? The same way you are to abide in Jesus. You make your dwelling there, your home there. Pitch a tent. That's your hangout place. Every day, that's your go-to place. You're to find strength. Strength, the source of your strength is Jesus. Everybody with me? That takes discipline. So, I'm telling you, I have learned the blessing. I'm just speaking honestly. It hasn't been this way my whole life. But I have learned the blessing of disciplining myself to spend time with God and His Word. Anybody give testimony to that? It is not a chore. It is a joy to discipline myself to spend time in the Word of God. And it's hard work. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, train yourselves for godliness. Train yourselves for godliness. You know what the word train means? It comes from the word gymnos. You know what gymnos? You sound familiar? What? Gymnasium. It has this idea of sweat, working out. The Greek athletes would strip down naked. I don't encourage that for any of you at the Y. They would strip down naked, and they would give themselves, man. They would train and train and train. Spiritual sweat, agony, toil. They would work out to achieve the thing they wanted to do. God says, train yourselves for godliness. Don't sit on your butt hoping it comes to you. No, get up and pursue it. Work hard. Pursue it. It's going to require sweat and effort. Put yourself into it. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, look, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive perishable wreath. Listen, all these Olympians, they work out for years and years and years to compete one time, one exercise on the floor, right? If they can do all that work for a perishable wreath, one that's going to just go away in the end, how much more do you need to work for an imperishable? So we don't run aimlessly, no. We don't box as one beating the air, just doing nothing, no. We discipline our body, we keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, we ourselves should be disqualified. It's just athletic terms. We work hard at this. There's a phrase that says, if you rake, you get leaves. We were with some friends last night who raked their yard, and they got so exhausted. But they, you know, if you rake, you get leaves. But if you dig, you get gold. If you rake, you get leaves. If you dig, you get gold. Some of us are so frustrated by how we're not getting anything out of the Word of God, but are we raking or are we digging? How much effort do you really put into it? How disciplined are you really? Hebrews 12 says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin. See, discipline involves two things. It involves putting something off and then putting something on. What keeps you from spending time in God's Word? What do you need to put off? Is it the fact that you just can't get away from the Golden Girls at 11 o'clock at night? I don't think that's any of us but Michelle and I. Is it the fact that you're so obsessed with school that you just can't put the books down because you think you're going to miss something if you dedicate time in the Word of God? Are you so obsessed with the way that other people think about you in your workplace that you can't spend time in the Word during lunch because they might think that you're kind of some hyper-spiritual person? What is it that you need to lay aside? And then what is it that you need to put on? What commitments do you need to make? Now, let me help you put something on. Go to the next slide. Now, I just want to tell you some practical things to discipline yourself. And we're almost done. Some practical steps that you can do. Now, I think this is where you really need to write this stuff down because I think this is the area we struggle in the most. How do I discipline myself? Work hard to spend time with God every day in His Word by His Spirit. Now, let me tell you. The first thing I recommend is a reading plan. Anybody ever have a reading plan? Okay, well, they have reading plans available. Many of them are available on your little smartphones. Most of you have smartphones, or many of you do. You can get a Bible app for your smartphone. Now, when you get it, you can sign up for a reading plan. Every day, it tells you what passages to read that day. Now, you can set up a reading plan to go through the whole Bible in a year. That's very ambitious. It's a plan that I'm on. It's somebody who has significant time to spend in the Word of God and dig deep, and I encourage you. I would encourage you to read the whole counsel of God every year. But for some of us who haven't been in the, you know, it'd be like going to the gym. If you've never been to the gym before and trying to lift 500 pounds, that's kind of silly, right? I would encourage you to lift 100 pounds. They have partial reading plans or New Testament reading plans or daily devotional reading plans. Go to the next screen. I'll show you something. This is a screenshot of my phone yesterday. This was my reading plan yesterday. I read Leviticus chapter 8, Psalm chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 23, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this is the machine one-year reading plan. This gets you through the whole Bible in a year. You read the New Testament twice, Psalm and Proverbs every day, all right? There are other reading plans available, and I put all those little phones down there so you could see this is available for you, all right? Reading plan would be a great start. Sign up for it. It comes to you every day. Now, you don't have to wonder what to read. You're told what to read. Does that make sense? You know that you'll spend time every day, and it's an accountability system. All right, go back one slide. I'll show you this one real quick. Journaling. One way to discipline yourself is to keep a journal. You're not reading just to read, like you read a textbook for school or some hobby. No, you're reading to hear from the Word of God. You're reading to hear God's voice. So journaling, what it does is takes the Word of God and it makes it personal for you. Suddenly, instead of saying, okay, oh yeah, God is merciful and gracious God, blah, blah, blah. No. Oh God, thank you for being merciful. Lord, if you hadn't been merciful in my life, this is where I'd be. Lord, thank you for being gracious. These are the gifts that I enjoy. You're personalizing the Word of God as you go. You're keeping a journal of it. Third thing I would recommend is a devotional book. Oswald Chambers, for instance, writes one called My Utmost for His Highest. It's a wonderful devotional book, and some of you I've recommended it to. It gives you a portion of Scripture every day and then some thoughts about it, ways to apply it. That would be a good beginner step, and there's nothing wrong with beginner steps. Fourth, I recommend a study Bible. I have one, the ESV Study Bible. It has commentary on the side, some application and thoughts. As you read the Word of God, it gives you insight. For somebody who hasn't maybe studied it or understand the setting of it, it's a really good resource. So you're not feeling like, this is from thousands of years ago and I have no idea what this means or who these Babylonian parasite people are. This helps you, okay? And I think those things are good for you. Fifth, a personal Bible study method. I could give this to you, and in fact, I'm going to blog. For those of you who follow the blog and get emails from me, this will go out to you either tonight or tomorrow morning. I want to email some of this out to you. And if you don't follow the blog, just get onto it. It's linked through the church website. And I'm going to list some of these things and link them so that you can get some of these personal Bible study methods. But there are ways that you can approach the Word of God systematically to be able to hear from God and to understand it. Lastly, I just recommend to you accountability. This is huge. Just like I struggle going to the gym, I need a gym partner, all right? If anybody wants to be my gym partner, please. You know, bro's suffering here. Some of us, though, need to just admit, you know what? I need somebody every day or once a week to just talk to me about the Word of God. I feel all alone in what I'm trying to do. It's so encouraging to have somebody else reading with you and keeping you accountable to the commitments that you make. Now, the key to this is do not ask them, did you read your Bible today? That is so annoying. And when you don't read your Bible, it's just flatly discouraging. And if you do that to somebody, please don't do it anymore. Did you do that? You know, it's like mom and dad nagging at you. Listen, don't do that. The better question for accountability is, what is God teaching you this week through His Word? What is God showing you as you study? Okay? Can you remember that? That's the approach for accountability that I want you to take, is approaching it, encouraging somebody else with what they have heard from God that week, not beating them down because they haven't done every jot and tittle. Okay, that's pharisaical, and that's not what we want to do. And finally, small groups. I encourage you to be in a small group. That's the point of our small groups, to study the Word of God and to apply it to our lives. If you're in a small community group, this is the way to be disciplined and to be active in your pursuit of God, doing it together. Some of you have never been to a small group, and this is a good time for you to think about it. Think about joining one this year, okay? Desire, discipline, and finally, this is going to take 2 minutes. Everybody with me, okay? The third step is dependence. We don't make resolutions as believers like everybody else makes resolutions. We make our resolutions with two distinct things. We have a different motivation, and we have a different source of strength. If you approach, okay, I'm going to make this year the year I'm going to hear from God, and you just approach it with your own strength and your motivation for being, you know, I'm going to accomplish this, ooh-ah, it ain't going to go so well. Because you know what? The Word of God is designed in such a way that only those who hear it by the Spirit of God actually can receive it and get nourishment from it. Your source of strength in this is the Spirit of God. Jesus said, true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. You can't just pursue truth without the Spirit. You'll maybe learn it academically, but you'll miss what the Spirit of God has for you. So you have to have a source of strength in the Spirit of God, dependency on the Lord, and your motivation needs to be love for the Lord, not self-accomplishment or pride. Oh, look at all this stuff that I'm reading. Look at all these things I've memorized. No, your motivation for it is you want more of God. So your motivation needs to be pure and your strength needs to be pure. Next slide, real quick. Let me just show you this, what I'm talking about. Matthew 13, 13 to 16. Jesus says, this is why I speak to them, the Pharisees, in parables. This is why I speak, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now look at your neighbor. Everybody has ears. Does your neighbor have ears? Does your neighbor have eyes? Oh. But if you look at your neighbor, you cannot tell if they have spiritual ears or spiritual eyes. For Jesus says that everyone has these ears and these eyes, but not everyone has these ears and these eyes. To have these ears and these eyes, you need the Spirit of God. Some people approach the Word and all they hear is with these ears. All they see is with these eyes. But when you're living in the Spirit, you can hear with these ears and these eyes. 1 Corinthians 2 says, we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it. But these things God has revealed to us. How? Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. John chapter 14, Jesus talks about how He's giving the Spirit for this very reason, that He might reveal to you the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that we do, the resolutions we make, we do in dependency on God. So, this is what it means in your everyday walk. When you turn open the Word of God, you get to Psalm chapter 31, which is I'm turned to here, Job chapter 31, and you say, before you start reading, before you start, you pray, oh God, good morning. Lord, thank you so much for this day. God, I want nothing more today than to hear from you, to be with you, to know you more. I'm coming to your Word this morning, not because I'm trying to accomplish some plan, but Lord, earnestly, I'm coming to you because I want to know you more. God, I know that your Word is a living Word. It's meant to be taught to me by your Spirit. And so, God, as I approach your Word today, I pray, Lord, that you would give me your Spirit so that I might understand it, that you might speak to me and actually accomplish something from it. Does that make sense? You approach it in dependency of God. Well, that's it, folks. We're done. 2013, diet. Are you excited about your diet? Here's the question I have for you. Are you willing to make a resolution this year for this to be the year that you know God in a more deep and intimate way than ever before? It begins with desire. Do you desire Him? Do you want more of Him? Do you want to hear from Him in His Word? Don't forget your homework, Psalm 119. I pray that it'll cultivate in your heart a deep desire for the Word of God. Secondly, are you willing to do the hard work of spending time in God's Word, digging for gold, not just raking for leaves? Are you willing to take up those disciplines so that you might truly seek God and hear from Him this year? And are you willing, thirdly, are you able and willing to do this in complete dependence on Him? Amen.